The gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. You can find this in the Pew Bible, New Testament section, page 46. Mark 10, 17 through 31. Listen to God's word. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." The young man replied, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But then Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Let us pray. God, your love for us is all-encompassing. You know us so much better than we owe ourselves. We know that we fail daily, and sometimes we just have trouble trying to keep up to your expectations, but yet you love us. We know that we are called to bring peace to all people. We are called to minister to all people. We are called to be your disciples and to share what we have with those in need. So as we look at pictures on TV and on the internet and we see just such utter destruction, help us to be generous and our gifts to help those who've lost everything. And Lord, help us recall when we felt that way, helpless and overwhelmed, and others came to our aid, and may we do likewise. Lord, we know there are families that have lost loved ones this week, and we ask you to touch them with your special love and concerning compassion. We know that there are those who have uncertain medical diagnosis and treatments. Remind them that we journey with them and that our prayers are joined with the prayers of many on their behalf. And Lord, we are grateful for those listening by radio this morning. We ask that their week would be better because they've listened to worship at Franklin Baptist. We're thankful for so many things, but Lord, we are most thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We ask in his name, Amen. I'm going to do what any good Baptist preacher would do. I'm going to take my watch off. I'm going to put it to the side. I'm not going to look at it again. Ushers, please close the doors and lock them. No, we're not going to be here all that long. Questions. You have questions. I have questions. All of our questions are vitally important, and we need an answer right now. Maybe some of your questions are, when will he finish? Why? Because I'm hungry. Maybe your question is, why isn't the visitor's card in the pew larger? Why? Because I need to write out my grocery list. Maybe your question is, where will we eat lunch today? Well, right now, I think I'm fairly certain my question is different than yours. My question is this. Why did Charles assign me one of the most difficult passages in Scripture the day that I'm preaching? Good one, Charles. In today's text, the rich young man had a burning question for Jesus. His question was direct and to the point. What must I do to inherit eternal life? If you're anything like me, you probably would like to have a one-on-one with Jesus and ask him a question. Any question that you had, personal, difficult, any questions permitted, if you had a one-on-one with Jesus. So think with me for a moment. If you had that opportunity to have a one-on-one time with Jesus and you were allowed to ask only one question, what question would that be? Recently, Jane and I drove to Danville, Virginia, 3 hours, worked for 2 hours arranging flowers for a reception, went to see my folks for a couple of hours, changed and went back to the reception, then drove 3 hours back home. And I'm proud to say that when we got home, we crashed. We were tired. Earlier this year, we agreed to make the floral arrangements for this reception, and we were happy to do so. But circumstances changed, and our attitudes became less than joyous. For you see, the reception was originally planned to be a wedding reception, but the bride became pregnant and was married in a civil ceremony. I think I failed to mention that this was a family affair, which made the day even more perplexing. Even though we were disappointed with actions, we remained true to our word. On the drive home, we were clearly tired, a bit overwhelmed, and Jane asked me, why were we arranging flowers for a reception with all the things that had happened? And I said, well, there are two reasons, I believe. Because we gave our word that we were going to do that. And secondly, because it was the right thing to do. Our love and support should not change simply because the pattern changed in a person's life. If our call to ministry is based on the pattern of ministry that we find with Jesus in the New Testament, then we must do the right thing. Now, I am keenly aware that others may not understand our actions. And I also know there are times when doing the right thing is not clear cut. But as followers of Jesus, we are called to do the right thing regardless of the difficulty involved. If you find yourself trying to discern what the right thing is, then love extravagantly, because Christ has showered each of us with his extravagant love. I'm sure you noticed a difference in the temperature this morning. Cooler, no humidity, great time of the year. I love the fall because you can watch leaves change colors. And you can see how creation is just changing just ever so slowly. In a couple of weeks, we'll change our clocks, and will be hopefully grateful for the longer nights, and the days will grow shorter. In a few short weeks, the harvest will come, and we will sing those words that we know and love. Come, ye thankful people, come. Raise the song of harvest home. Fall is a harvest of sports. You have the NFL, college football, Major League playoffs, and the World Series. Since I grew up playing baseball, October has always been a special month to me. Beginning some 162 games earlier, the season is about to come to a close with the playing of the World Series. Sometimes the teams that are favored to win at the beginning of the year win the World Series, and sometimes they do not. I love the line that every baseball season begins with. Every team has a chance of winning the World Series, and every team believes that they will. While this may be technically true, the reality is far from that. And this year, my favorite baseball team had a season to forget. They excelled in only two categories. They lost 100 games, more than 100 games, and they traded away a lot of talented players. This is my confession. I am a fan of the Baltimore Orioles. But even in baseball, sometimes the last shall be first. If you follow baseball, you may remember the 1991 World Series. That was the year when two teams met in the World Series, and the year before they were last in their division. That year, the Minnesota Twins defeated the Atlanta Braves. Not one team, but two teams went from last to first. Yes, the last shall be first. Today's story, Mark shares from Jesus' ministry, one that we know well. We probably know the gist of it. We could come up with it off the top of our head. It starts out interestingly. This young man stops Jesus. He interrupts Jesus in his ministry. Why? To ask him a single question. Because this story is so familiar, you probably remember the line of questioning and the insistence of that young man. Question was straightforward and simple. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And before answering that question, Jesus needed to distinguish between good and God. God alone is good, and the young man's wealth afforded him a vast collection of goods. For this young man, his goods, his possessions were important to him. He had worked hard to acquire them. But yet after hearing Jesus' response, he continued on his quest for the answer. I believe the Bible said he went away worried. I've often wondered about his reaction. He asked the question, and Jesus didn't quite answer his question first of all, did he? So did he think that Jesus misheard his question, misunderstood his question? Maybe he became impatient like so many of us. You know, we have a very tight schedule, and we've got the next appointment we have to do. Many of us have questions concerning events in the world today. So if you had the opportunity to ask Jesus one question, what question would you ask? Would it concern catastrophic events like hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, and flooding? Maybe your question would inquire about living conditions throughout the world. Maybe your question would ask about cooperation or lack of cooperation between churches. And with apologies to my seminary professors, I will ask this next question, which they said never mention in the pulpit. And then we have politics. Who among us does not have questions about politics? Those questions were certainly around in his day, but the young man didn't ask any of them. His focus, his concern, was what he had to do to inherit eternal life. So he asked the question that was most important to him. Our question may be different. Maybe we have a different priority. So this morning, maybe you feel like you're on the outside looking in. Maybe you have health issues that you're facing that burden you down. Maybe you have the overwhelming burden of caring for family members. We don't know if any of these were a concern for the young man, but we do know about his quest for eternal life. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Or to put it another way, what will happen to me? Or yet another way, will I be saved? This is the essence of the question the young man asked Jesus. And because we know the story, it is easy to overlook Jesus' answer. Can't you just imagine the young man's thought? I've got this audience with Jesus. I've asked my question. I thought about it a long time. I know it's a good one. But he had to wait for Jesus to answer. Jesus answered, so you know, you've got to keep all these commandments. And the young man reminded Jesus that he had kept all the commandments since his youth. So all he could do now was to wait for Jesus' answer. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, you lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. But for a moment, forget the verbal answer that Jesus had for the young man and look at the nonverbal answer. Mark says, Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Before Jesus spoke, he loved the young man. Jesus loved him, in spite of all the hindrances he had to sharing the gospel. Jesus looked at him and loved him. And friends, that is really good news, because we need to comprehend that, first of all, Jesus loves us. When we understand that Jesus loves us, difficult answers become much more bearable. All of us have questions, many of which seem to not have any answers. Maybe you've been in this place before, a place where unending purgatory of unanswered questions. The questions are there, the answers are not. But we need to remember, Jesus loves him. He looked at the man and loved him, and yes, Jesus threw him a curveball. But yet, the important thing is Jesus loved him. So what is Jesus trying to tell us this morning? I believe that one of the things we need to remember is that no matter what predicament we find ourselves in, no matter how bad we've messed up, no matter how many people we've let down, no matter what we've done, Jesus still loves us. Even if we're in the basement, in the darkest dungeon that life can have for us, Jesus still loves us. And there's more good news. In Romans, we have these familiar words, that there is nothing imagined or real, absolutely nothing that can change the fact that Jesus loves us. Friends, that is good news. I understand that life is not easy. Life has challenges for all of us. But sisters and brothers, in spite of our many unanswered questions, we matter to God. We matter to God. In spite of our frailties and our failures, we matter to God. If we feel like the least, the last, the lowest of society, we matter to God. And if that's the place you find yourself this morning, then dream. We can dream for the day where the last will be first and God's kingdom will be here on earth. When asked the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus looked at the young man and before speaking, loved him. The love that Jesus has for each of us allows us to see that the last will be first. And this promise is sure because in our text, Mark 10:27, with God, all things are possible. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. God, we are grateful for your love that never ends, for your love that is always with us, no matter where life we find ourselves in life's journey. So as we come to a hymn of decision, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and that the result of this worship service would be that we would have renewed energy and effort for your kingdom's work. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. We're going to sing a hymn of response.